Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2481 with a release date of Friday, May 16th, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The IARU looks to merge its independent regions. Record numbers turn out for a ham radio exam in Bangladesh, and the ARRL asks the FCC again to increase technician privileges on HF. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2481 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent weekly amateur radio news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
Our top story this week is the International Amateur Radio Union. Marking 100 years of representing member countries around the world and coordinating frequencies and other concerns, the organization enters its second century with one big change on its mind. We have those details from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Imagine, for a moment, an IARU without separate entities known as Region 1, 2, and Region 3. Imagine a total restructuring that would create a single global entity, erasing the discrete regions separated by oceans, languages, and cultures. The IARU has announced it is considering just that and has released a proposal to unite the independent regions as one, combined with the International Secretariat, to streamline decision-making, to better coordinate shared concerns, and to bolster membership in regions where it is declining. The IARU's administrative headquarters is presently based at the ARRL in the United States. The IARU has released guidance on potential restructuring to help the organization meet modern challenges. The proposed changes would combine the three separate regional organizations into a single global entity. The proposal, PDF, outlines a number of areas where the currently independent regional organizations struggle. Problem areas include declining membership, duplication of resources, lack of coordination, and other various inefficiencies. The changes are designed to establish a number of benefits. This overwhelming change would not happen overnight, of course. The IARU will be asking member societies to vote after they have reviewed the consultation on restructuring, which is available on the IARU website. Any changes that are approved would not take place before next year. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
If you were lucky enough to work HV5PUL in Rome recently, you were part of this small university-based station celebration that a new pope had been elected. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us about the activation.
2 days after the conclave of cardinals had elected Pope Leo XIV, amateur radio station HV5PUL, the Pontifical Lateran University, was on the air in the Vatican city-state in the heart of Rome, celebrating. The station's administrator, Luca Della Giovampaola, IW0DJB, reported that traffic was lively on 20 metres SSB and 17 metres FT8. He said that the simple 100-watt station logged an estimated 400 contacts in 4 hours. Propagation was challenging, and so, with the exception of one Japanese station, all the contacts were within Europe. It's not often a new pope is chosen, nor that HV5PUL is put on the air. Luca said the call sign is active mainly on Saturdays in connection with special occasions such as the opening day of the university's academic year and, of course, the election of a new pope. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Amateur radio test taking hit an all-time high among candidates in Bangladesh recently. John Williams, VK4JJW, is here to explain what happened.
A record number of candidates showed up to take Bangladesh's amateur radio exam on Friday, May 9th, a total estimated at more than 900 participants. The Amateur Radio Society of Bangladesh said on its website that, quote, "This remarkable figure represents the highest number of participants ever recorded for an amateur radio exam in Bangladesh's history," end quote. Weeks of preparation had gone into preparing candidates for the exam by offering online seminars as well as in-person training and workshops. There also was a field day as well as classes in basic electronics and antenna building. The Amateur Radio Society said there was great support from the Bangladesh Vespa community, a community service group of motorized scooter enthusiasts, many of whom also took the exam, which was organized by the Bangladesh Telecommunication Regulatory Commission. It was not yet known how many of the candidates were successful in getting their license. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
Ted Randall, WB8PUM, host and founder of the QSO radio show heard on shortwave stations WTWW and WRMI, passed away on Sunday, May 11th after a long illness. Born Ted Randall Klimkowski in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, Ted graduated from Robichaux High School in 1969. Ted was a broadcast engineer in Detroit and later Nashville. His sons, David and Matt, are also engineers. Ted was known for his deep voice and velvety delivery on the QSO radio show. If it was of interest to amateurs, Ted covered it. He also covered the paranormal. He said, quote, "If it flies over your head and can't be identified or goes bump in the night, we'll talk about it," end quote. He did several live shows from just outside the gates of Area 51 in Nevada. Ted was a huge supporter of the amateur radio newsline Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Young Ham of the Year Award. During his live broadcasts from the Huntsville Hamfest, the QSO radio show was usually the first stop after the presentation for a sit-down on air with Ted. He also did live broadcasts from the Dayton Hamvention. For several years, the Ham Nation television audio was simulcast by Ted on WTWW. He's survived by his wife Holly and two sons. Fittingly, he was 73 years of age. The FCC's recent request for suggestions about eliminating or modifying any and all regulations has become an opportunity for the ARRL to renew some of its recent proposals to the regulator, as we hear from Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
The ARRL has renewed an earlier plea that the FCC grant HF privileges to technician class radio amateurs. The revival of this proposed change is prominent on a long list the League has drawn up for the Commission, responding to the federal government's goal to eliminate certain FCC regulations or guidelines. The League is asking that technicians gain phone privileges on 80 meters, 40 meters, and 15 meters, along with RTTY and digital privileges. This is not the only previous petition the League is pressing for as part of the Commission's announced changes. It is also asking that sub-band boundaries be adjusted on 80 and 75 meters to correct what is called an imbalance that doesn't reflect the increased presence of digital operations. The ARRL is also underscoring its belief that baud rate and bandwidth limitations should be eliminated on certain amateur LF and VHF-UHF bands. This FCC initiative was announced in its further notice of proposed rulemaking in 2023. The FCC initiative was contained in its docket number 25-133, which has been referred to as the Delete, Delete, Delete docket. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
There's good news for hams in South Carolina, where a new law will ban most handheld devices from use behind the wheel of a moving vehicle. Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, has those details.
South Carolina is about to become the 32nd state in the U.S. to exempt amateur radio operators from a law that bans drivers of motor vehicles from using handheld devices. After it is signed into law by Governor Henry McMaster, the measure is to take effect on September 1st. Although it prohibits drivers from using portable computers, GPS receivers, mobile phones, electronic games, or other communication devices, the bill exempts operators of amateur, citizens band, and commercial and emergency radios. Members of the State Senate and House of Representatives passed different versions of the Hands-Free and Distraction Driving Act earlier this year, overwhelmingly. They recently agreed to resolve the difference in both versions and send it in its final form to the governor. A similar law in Iowa, also a ham radio exemption, is set to take effect on the 1st of July, joining the growing number of states around the U.S. This is Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
A similar law takes effect on the 5th of June in Pennsylvania, where drivers will be banned from using handheld mobile devices while behind the wheel of a moving car. As with many distracted driving laws passed recently, this law also exempts amateur radio operators and emergency responders. The measure is known as Paul Miller's Law, bearing the name of the 21-year-old man struck and killed by a motorist distracted by a phone call in 2010. It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K5 VOM repeater in Greenville, Texas, on Mondays at 7:30 p.m. Nominations close on the 31st of this month for Newsline's Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award. Do you know a promising young amateur who's a potential candidate? Consider nominating an amateur radio operator 18 years of age or younger here in the continental United States. If they have talent, promise, and a commitment to the spirit of ham radio, they might just be this year's award winner. Find application forms on our website, arnewsline.org, under the Awards tab. After a series of delays that pushed its first satellite launch well past its target date of early 2024, Amazon's new broadband internet constellation project has moved ahead with its first liftoff. We have those details from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The broadband internet constellation, known as Project Kuiper, is on its way at last, following the launch on Monday, April 28th, of its first 27 satellites from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station in Florida. Amazon envisions its long-anticipated $10 billion project as a direct challenge to the massive SpaceX Starlink network, which dominates the market, as well as Eutelsat, OneWeb, AT&T, and T-Mobile. Ultimately, Project Kuiper will send 3,236 satellites into low Earth orbit, making its global broadband service accessible to rural and underserved regions. A mandate by the U.S. Federal Communications Commission requires Amazon to deploy 1,618, or half, of its satellites by the middle of next year. Analysts speculate that the company may seek an extension on that date as a result of the delays. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
October seems like a long way off, but to planners of the 43rd annual AMSAT Space Symposium and annual general meeting, it's just around the corner. Organizers have already sent out a save-the-date notice for the weekend of October 16th and have published a general schedule that runs for 4 days. Meetings and presentations will be hosted at the Holiday Inns and Suites Phoenix Airport North in Arizona, convenient to Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport. The Board of Directors will meet on Thursday, the 16th of October, and again on Friday, the 17th of October, the same day that the symposium presentations will begin. The annual general meeting will be on Saturday, the 18th of October. The morning of Sunday, the 19th of October, the closing day, has been set aside for the members' breakfast. More specific details will be made public as soon as they become available. Dubus, a magazine that is popular with amateurs around the world who focus on VHF and higher frequencies, is posing a challenge and offering a reward. It involves a little radio detective work, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The International Ham Radio Magazine for Enthusiasts Operating VHF and Up has announced it will award a prize this year to a radio operator studying the scientific validity of global passive WSPR radar in locating aircraft. The theory came to prominence following the use of WSPR log data in the search for the doomed Malaysian flight MH370, which disappeared in 2014 en route to Beijing. The journal, which publishes 4 times a year in English and German, has created this award to mark the 75th anniversary of the DARC and the 100th anniversary of the International Amateur Radio Union. The total prize award is €7,500, the equivalent of $8,450, and is in 3 categories. €1,500, or $1,600, for proof involving large passenger or cargo aircraft, €2,500, or $2,800, for proof involving smaller aircraft, €3,500, almost $4,000, for proof involving helicopters. Studies should be submitted in either English or German and in PDF format to the email address that appears in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org by the entry deadline of the 31st of December. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, Morton, LA9GY, is using the call sign 3 Delta Alpha 0GY while operating holiday style from Eswatini from the 22nd of May through to the 2nd of June. Morton will be using CW and some SSB, concentrating on 20, 15, and 10 meters. He may also operate on other HF bands. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Listen for Oscar Tango 25 Epic, the special call sign of the Antwerp Port Contest Club, ON8APC, which is on the air to promote this year's edition of the Antwerp Port epic cycling race. The call sign will be on the air between the 10th of May and the 9th of June, which is the day of the race. QSL via Oscar, November 8, Juliet, Juliet. The International Amateur Radio Club at ITU headquarters in Geneva is using the call sign 4U0ITU from the 16th of May through to the end of the year. This is to mark the 160th anniversary of the International Telecommunication Union. Jose, HP2AT, is using the special call sign H82AT to mark his 35th anniversary in amateur radio. He's on the air through to the 31st of December. Paper cards are not available. See QRZ.com for details. And we end this week's newscast with the story of some mystery radio signals that are mysteries no more. Thanks to researchers, there's been some station identification. We learn more from Travis Lisk in 3ILS.
Think of them as the dynamic duo of the universe. No, they're not caped crusaders, but a red dwarf star and a white dwarf, a dead star. Together, they have been sending a steady radio pulse every 2 hours for at least 10 years. Scientists have heard their transmission, but until recently, no one knew the source of the sounds, which appeared to emanate from the direction of the Big Dipper. This past spring, the signals were found to come from a binary system, two stars, that send the pulse by repeated contact between their magnetic fields. Researchers cracked the mystery with the help of a low-frequency array radio telescope. The discovery debunks the long-held belief that only highly magnetized neutron stars, known as magnetars, can emit such pulses. This challenge to the old way of thinking opens up the chance to explore other mysteries and binary systems. Researchers call this binary star system ILTJ1101. Although it sounds like a very large and exotic call sign for this long-distance transmitter, it's not. Still, with all those steady, regular signals over the years, this pair surely deserves some kind of operating award. This is Travis Lisk and 3ILS.
Have you sent in your amateur radio haiku to Newsline's Haiku Challenge yet? It's as easy as writing a QSL card. Set your thoughts down using traditional haiku format, a three-line verse with 5 syllables in the first line, 7 in the second, and 5 in the third. Submit your work on our website at arnewsline.org. Each week's winner will get a shout-out on our website, where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, Amateur Radio Society of Bangladesh, AMSAT, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, David Behar, K7DB, the FCC, the IARU, Luca Della Giovampaolo, IW0DJB, QRZ.com, NASA, Radio World, Reuters, Sci News, ShortwaveRadio.de, South Carolina State House, Space.com, Sustainability Times, the Wireless Institute of Australia, WYFF Channel 4, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. All rights are reserved.